What's up, Vineyard? So good to be with you today. Welcome to the Vineyard. Welcome to those of you joining us online. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. Hey, can we make some noise for our online family today? Come on, let's welcome our online family today. And while we're at it, can we make some noise for all the dads in the house today? Come on, let's do it for the dads. Dads-to-be, abuelos, happy Father's Day, your day today. So how many people do we have here with us today who you would consider yourself a car person, a car enthusiast, any car people in the room today? Listen, if you're joining us online and you're a car person, in the chat, just put the word vroom in the chat. So I'm not a big car guy. Like, I don't know all the makes and the models and the years and what's under the hood, but I do love driving them. And so I got a friend who manages a car dealership here in South Florida. And so when this friend gets sometimes he gets a latest model of a car, he lets me test drive it for a little while. And so recently he got in an all-electric Ford Mustang. Now, this doesn't look anything like the old Mustang. It's kind of a crossover, but so, you know, all-electric car, I'm going, yeah, it probably saves on gas, but it probably drives like a golf cart. But if you've never driven an all-electric car, you are in for a shock, because these things move. So I got inside the car, and I sat down in behind the wheel, and there's a screen like the size of a TV in there, and it has three settings that you can engage your car in. So the middle setting is whisper setting. And if you want to show the whisper setting, so the whisper setting is it saves on a battery, but it doesn't go real far. It's just kind of, you know, real fast. It's whisper setting. Next setting is engage setting, and you push that button when you want to find someone to marry. No, I'm just kidding, dad joke. So you push, somebody got that. So you push that button when it drives like a normal car, and then you have another setting, setting at the bottom. You see what it is? What's it? What is it?
Unbridled.
That setting is like unrestrained, unrestricted. So of those three settings, which setting do you think I picked?
Unbridled.
Oh, of course I did. Unbridled. I mean, I went and got my family, my kids, and I put them in the back seat of the car. And I said, come on, let's take this for a drive. On unbridled setting, I said, let's just see what it can do. Now, I didn't, you know, I wasn't going 100. I was going, but I did see how fast it would go from 0 to 50. You push on that accelerator, and I'm telling you, you are pushed back into the seat because that thing goes that fast. It's like some G's are hitting you. It's electric. It's crazy. And so I did that a few times around the block. I take my kids back, and I said, how you doing? Dad, this thing's like a roller coaster. It's crazy, this car. So he let me drive this car around for 2 weeks. I never took it off unbridled setting. Took my wife, Debbie, everywhere. She was so glad when that guy came to get his car back. But this whole thing got me thinking about us and about the potential. Just like the potential that was in that car and those batteries, the same potential exists in each one of us. It also got me thinking about this guy we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks called Samson. Samson is a guy in the Bible that had incredible potential, but he never realized his fullest potential because he always made some poor choices and always let some things get in the way. And we're going to talk more about him in just a moment. But I just want to let you know today, up front, that I am so excited about this series. I'm excited about the potential that exists within each one of us. That if we will align our hearts and our minds and our wills and our emotions to God, I believe there's no limit what God can do through you.
Amen.
And here's what I believe. I believe God is on the move. I believe God is on the move in this room here right now today. I believe God is on the move. And I believe that God is looking for men and women whose hearts are aligned with His. People who are going to make a difference in this world. People, men and women of integrity, men and women of courage, men and women who will stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. Men and women who will set godly examples for others to follow. And I believe that in this room today, and joining me online are hundreds of people who want to do just that. That you want your life to matter. You want your life to count. You want to be a difference maker. You want your heart to beat for God. So who's in? Who's in? You're joining me online right now. I want you to put the words in the chat. Count me in. Count me in. Count me in. Who's in? Who's in? So look, I want you to turn to somebody next to you right now. Turn to somebody and look at them and tell them, ooh, this is going to be good. Go tell them, ooh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Okay, look, this is why you got to be here for the next 4 weeks. This is a four-week series. We're going to be going through the life of Samson. I'll tell you who Samson is in just a moment. 4 weeks. So I know sometimes it's summer. I know sometimes you can be traveling. You can always catch us online live, and you can always catch us online later than live on YouTube. So you got to stay with us in these 4 weeks. And so Samson, even if you never like read Samson's story in the Bible, Samson has found his way into our modern vernacular. You might have heard of Samson and Delilah, or you might know that Samson is known as the his name is synonymous with strength. He's like the ultimate strong man. We actually got a picture of Samson I wanted to show you. Actually, that's The Rock, but you know. So who's Samson? So Samson, you can find Samson's story in your Bibles, and there's a book called Judges in the Bible, Judges chapters 13 through 16, we find the story of Samson. And so let me just give you a little trailer here, little backstory. A couple thousand years ago, so back in the day, a couple thousand years ago, the nation of Israel had been taken captive by the Philistines. And so nation of Israel were God's people, the Jews, taken captive by the Philistines. And so after the nation of Israel was captive for a little while, God says, you know, it's time. They need to get out of captivity. And so God was raising, God said, I'm gonna raise someone up to help lead them out of captivity. His name was Samson. Now, so an angel appears to a couple, Samson's parents, who they were unable to have kids. But an angel appears to them and says, you're going to get pregnant and you're going to have a baby. He's going to be a boy, and I want you to name him Samson. And from the very beginning of Samson's life, the Spirit of the Lord, the Bible says, stirred within him. And God came upon him in supernatural ways throughout his entire life. Ways that he would do feats of strength and stuff that no human being could possibly ever do. But he was empowered supernaturally by God. But the angel said to the mom and the dad, look, I want you and your family and Samson to take the Nazarite vows. Now, what are Nazarite vows? Well, Nazarite vows, if you want to look at them later, they're found in Numbers chapter 6. Nazarite vows are three vows that people could take to say, to demonstrate to people looking and watching that I am dedicating myself fully to God by taking these three vows. And here's what the vows were. Here's the first vow. First vow is this, don't get drunk. That'd be still a good vow for all of us to take today. But it wasn't just don't get drunk. The first vow was no alcohol will ever touch your lips ever. And so no Coronas, no margaritas, no craft beer, no White Claw, no Coquito, not even a glass of wine. Like no alcohol ever. Some of you going right now, okay, I'm out. All right, okay, I'm out. First vow. No alcohol. Second vow, don't touch anything dead. Some of you going, I like that vow because never got to pick up a dead cockroach, never got to touch a dead lizard, I'm good. But there's a lot of, in the Bible, there's in the Old Testament, there's a lot of things with having to do with touching things dead. So don't touch anything dead. And here's the third vow, don't get your hair cut ever. So let it grow out. No fade, no blowout. You know, I've never taken these Nazarite vows. I mean, I'm a pastor, so, you know, people say, you know, I'm a man of God. But I've never taken these Nazarite vows. But there was a season of my life back in the late 80s and early 90s where guys would let their hair grow out a little bit in the back. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Anybody remember that? What was that called with the hair grow a little bit? A mullet, yeah. A mullet. Okay, just show of hands. How many of you actually had a mullet at some point in your life? Can I see it? Come on, mullet. Come on, let me see the hands. Okay. I actually have a picture of me back in the day. Go ahead, show that pic. The That was back from my teaching days at Mays Junior High. I was Mr. Fisher back in the day. Maybe I was business in the front and party in the back. So, back to the story of Samson. Samson, you see, the story of Samson, over and over and over again, we're going to see in the story of Samson how God gives this man supernatural strength and the potential that exists within Samson. And time after time, we're going to see how his weak will got him into trouble again and again and again. And so we're going to look at his life over the next 4 weeks and see what we can learn, lessons we can learn from the life of Samson. So I want you to ask you to do something, if you would. If you would locate an outline. So here's how you locate an outline. It's on our Miami Vineyard app on your phone. So if you're joining us online, your online host can tell you to do that. You can go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard, find our app. Or if you're here in the room today and the seat back's in front of you, there is a card. You can turn on your camera, just scan the QR code, and you can get our Miami Vineyard app if you haven't gotten the app yet. On the app is the outline and a whole lot more, too, as well as on that app. So what I want to do today is we kick off the series. Today's kind of just a kickoff of the series we're going to be going through the next 4 weeks together. Is I want to give you today, I just want to give you three attitudes that make strong people weak. Three attitudes. We see them in the life of Samson, and as we tease this out, we're going to see them some play out in our lives as well. Three attitudes that make strong people weak. So here's the first one. First one is lust. Now, if you're under 35 in the room today or joining me online, the word is thirsty. Now, we often think of lust in a sexual context, right? Don't lust after this person. But lust is much bigger than just a sexual context. Lust is any desire that's out of control. That's lust. And here's what lust says. If you're taking notes, here's what lust says. Lust says, I want it. I want it. I see something. I want it. I got to have it. I'm going to go get it. It could be anything. It could be something you see on TikTok. It could be something you see in a commercial. It could be a car that you test drive for 2 weeks. People will go crazy and do stupid things when our desire for something goes uncontrolled. Some of you might remember back in the day. Again, I'm sorry, going back in the day. Back in 1996, there was a toy that came out that everybody had to have. Anybody remember what that was? Tickle Me Elmo, I heard it. Tickle Me Elmo was a toy back in the day. And if you went around back at that time, fights were breaking out in stores everywhere. There were only so many Tickle Me Elmos, and every family in this country wanted one. It was crazy. It was out of control. But that's what lust does. Lust makes us set aside what we know to be good and right and true and best because our desires get the best of us. Now, it's one thing when it's a toy or PlayStation 5. It's quite another thing when it affects our lives, like seeing another person and saying, I gotta have him. I gotta have her. And compromising everything we know to be true and to be right as we chase after that person. Now, we see this play out in the life of Samson. So we pick up Samson's story in Judges chapter 14. On your outlines, verse 1, it says, Samson went down to Timnah, the city of Timnah, and saw there a young Philistine woman. Now, pause there for a moment. He saw a young Philistine woman. Now, do you think that Philistine woman was attractive? Yeah. See, the original words in the Hebrew language the Bible is translated from means, see, a young Philistine woman. The original language translates to smoking hot. I just made that up. But she was, she was all hot girl summer. Okay, that's all I'm saying. She was an attractive young woman. Look at verse 2. When he returned, so Samson returned, he said to his father and his mother, he said, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now go get her for me as my wife. Now, first of all, we who talks to the parents that way? But secondly, she's a Philistine woman. God strictly forbid his people from marrying women who served other gods. And God still tells us, living today, listen, find someone, marry someone who is with you spiritually. Amen. Who's with you spiritually? Because if they're not with you spiritually, they're most likely going to bring you down. Look, if you're looking for someone, if you're looking for someone, here's the best advice I can tell you. Here's what you do. You run hard after God. You run hard after God. Okay? Run hard after God. And when you find somebody running next to you, that's the one. That's the one. But Samson, he knows she's a Philistine woman. He knows that she's serving another God, but he doesn't care. He wants her anyway. So he forgets about everything he knows. Everything he believes, he says, I want her. I don't care what God says. I don't care what my parents say. I don't care what's right and God-honoring. I want her. And over and over and over again, we see strong men and strong women become weak because of lusting after people and lusting after things that aren't good for us. This is what lust does. Lust, we find ourselves in places and spaces that compromise our integrity. This is what lust does. So that's the first attitude that can make strong people weak, is lust. Here's the second attitude, if you're taking notes. Second one is entitlement. And entitlement says, here's what entitlement says. Entitlement says, I deserve it. Lust says, I want it. Entitlement says, I deserve it. I deserve it. And so we say things like, after the week I've had, after putting up with the kids, after having my in-laws living with me for a month, after COVID, after this relationship, I deserve it. And when we say those words, it's almost always something we know is not healthy for us. I deserve it. It's not like I deserve an apple. It's like I deserve something else. Or you can go the other way as well. Entitlement just isn't when things are negative and you've come out of a negative season. Entitlement can often happen when something really good happens to us as well. Entitlement can happen after the high, after you've closed a deal, after you finish the school year, after you got the degree, after you buy the house, after you win the championship, after a tremendous church service on the weekend. You can say, I deserve it, whatever it is, I deserve it. So, back to Samson. One time the Bible talks about a story of Samson where he's walking along a road, and a lion comes out and is going to attack him. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God came over Samson in such a way that this lion came. Samson took the lion with his bare hands, basically ripped him apart, and tossed him to the side of the road. So several months go by. And Samson now sees this woman, going down to get this woman with his family, going to get married to this woman he's not supposed to marry. But he's walking along the same path he took earlier, and now he sees the carcass of this lion that he killed over here on the side of the road. And he notices in the carcass, you know, animals have eaten it, it's just there, but he notices in the carcass a hive of bees has taken up residence, and he sees the honey. Now, remember the vows, right? Yeah. Don't cut your hair, no alcohol. What's the other vow? Don't what? Don't touch anything. He knows the vows. He knows he's not supposed to touch anything dead. But he sees, first of all, he sees the lion that he killed going, oh, I'm bad. Look what I did. And he feels entitled to the honey, that sweet thing, that dulce de leche that's in that carcass. Look what it says in your outlines, verses 8 and 9, sometime later when he went back to marry this girl. He turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate it as he went along. Now he knows he's not supposed to touch anything dead, but he compromises everything he believes for a handful of honey. Now, I don't know what your handful of honey might look like. But how many times do we compromise everything we know to be right and everything we know to be true for our handful of honey. How many times? So I'm going to leave it right there. So three attitudes, right? Three attitudes are going to take strong people down. Lust, I want it. Entitlement, I deserve it. Now remember, three Nazirite vows as well. Don't cut your hair. Don't touch dead things. And remember the third one? Don't what? No. Good. No alcohol. So what does Samson do? No, he knows a vow. So what does Samson do? Look at verse 10, Judges 14. Now his father went down to see the woman that he's going to marry. And Samson made a feast there as was customary for bridegrooms. Now notice that word feast. Because in the original Hebrew language, that word is translated several ways. The NIV says feast, but a better word translation for that is really party. It means party. In fact, the word literally means, that this word literally means an occasion for drinking. And for some reason, Samson, who's taken a vow against no alcohol, thinks that he can throw a party, a keg party, and he's not going to consume any of it. And this party goes on for days. I mean, we're not talking like you know, weddings here are just, you know, one day and done. But in that culture, weddings went on for days. And you know what it is? It's the third attitude that's going to trip us up. It's pride. And if you're taking notes, here's what pride says. Pride says, I can handle it. I can handle it. There can be alcohol all around me. I'm not going to drink. I can handle it. And that's what pride often does to us in our lives. We have this prideful attitude. I can handle it. And before long, it handles us. We see things like, I want the car, I want the boat, I want the house. Listen, nothing wrong with having the boat, the car, the house. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that when we say I want it, sometimes what happens is we get too much boat, too much car, too much house. And we say, I can handle the payments. And 3 months later, the payments are handling us. What is it? It's pride. It's all these things rolled into one, but it's really pride. I can handle it. I got this. I can handle this. Or it's maybe you're involved in investing. And, you know, you found a couple of stocks from a friend who really are tracking, really like, and you take a couple $1,000, you put it in stock, and you know, you say to yourself when you get started, okay, I'm just gonna put a couple thousand in there. I'm not gonna go nuts. And the stock starts taking off and your money doubles and pretty soon you take more money out of your savings account. You put in that same stock and it's still going up. And pretty soon you do something you said you're never going to do. You take all your money out of the savings account. You put it in the stock market in those couple of stocks. And then you do something even more. You say, dude, this stock is crazy. I'm going to borrow money against my house. I'm going to put it in the stock market. And all of a sudden, guess what happens? And you thought, I can handle it. You know what's happening? It's handling you. This is what happens with pride. This is what pride does to us. Or it's having a conversation with a person of the opposite sex that you're not married to, and you're a married person. And, you know, it's a coworker, and you're going, come on, man. Dude, really? It's just a little conversation. Come on, man. We got to do lunch. Everybody's doing lunch, so, you know, we're just sitting having lunch together. It's no big deal. And then the no big deal turns a little, come on, man, a little flirting, it's no big deal. And several months later, you find yourself in a place and a space that you never thought you would be in. It's pride. I can handle it. I got this. I can handle it. And you're going, and if you think that was just Samson, you go, come on, Pastor Kevin, that'll never happen to me. I got three words for you. Con mucho cuidado. Be very careful. So earlier this week when I was putting this message together and I got to this section, I was sitting at my desk. I just pushed myself away from my desk because names of people started coming across my mind. I'm a pastor. Most of my friends are pastors in this city and many other cities across the country. Names of people, not just names of people I heard of, names of people I know, names of people who are my friends, men and women, pastor friends, oftentimes lead pastor friends. And I just stopped. I literally just dropped my, I was writing just longhand some notes before I get started typing. And I just threw my pen on the table and I just cried. Thinking about this list got to be 10 people. And I said, I don't even want to make the list any longer. And I know these people. These are pastors. These are lead pastors. And they lost it. They lost it all. They lost their reputation. They lost their ministry, and half of them lost their families. Now, can God restore? Absolutely, God can restore. Can God forgive? Absolutely, God can forgive. Can God redeem? Absolutely, God can redeem. But folks, you got to know, there are costs. There are consequences. There are costs and there are consequences. When we sin, God forgives, but there are still consequences. And those consequences play out in our lives. And so, I just want to encourage us today, as we kick off this series, let's learn from Samson, the strong man. Let's learn from Samson, because we've got so much potential. Samson had so much potential, but he allowed these things to take his knees out. He allowed these things to stop and limit the amazing potential that God had for him. And I don't want that to happen to us. I don't want it to happen to us. I want us to be everything God designed us to be. So would you pray with me? Would you bow your heads? Would you pray with me as we say a prayer together right now? And maybe you want to bow your heads and close your eyes just to block out distractions. And maybe if you're joining online right now, maybe you want to do the same thing wherever you're at, if you're able, just to block out distractions right now. And look, I believe, God, you are moving in this room right now. God, on this Father's Day, you are moving in this place right now upon men and women. You're moving, God, upon our hearts and our lives in this room and online and whatever place or space you may find yourself in. God is moving right now. And I believe that in this room, are people, are men and women who want to reach their fullest possible redemptive potential. I believe that within me. And so I just want to invite you right now, just to tell God, say, God, I need you in my life, God. I need you in my life, all my life. God, I need you in my emotions. I need you in my attitudes. I need you in my relationships. I need you in my marriage. I need you in my parenting. I need you in my career. I need you in my finances. God, I need you, God, in all my life. God, whatever, I need you, God. I need you, God, in all my life. And maybe some of you right now, listening to me right now, maybe you, as I spoke about some of these things today, you have found yourself relating to some of these things. And maybe right now, in this moment, as God is moving and the Holy Spirit of God is moving in this room and in online, maybe right now is your moment to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I don't want that to be in my life any longer. God, today, in this moment, at this time, in this place, God, no more. God, I repent. I turn from whatever it is that, God, that's happening in my life that I know is not good for me. God, I repent of that right now, God. And I want to say, God, I'm sorry. No more, God, in my word. I want to reach my fullest possible redemptive potential. I don't want those to tease out in my life, God. I want to be a person, a man or a woman who's after you. And so, God, right now, God, as you're moving in this place, I know there's men and women all over this room right now and joining me online right now. He says, I want to be the person God wants them to be. I want to reach my fullest possible redemptive potential. And if that's you right now, all over this room, if that's you, you say, I want to reach my fullest potential in God. I want you just to stand up all over this room right now. Just stand up and say, I want to reach my fullest potential. I want to be that man of God. I want to be that woman of God. I want to reach my fullest potential all over this place right now. You're joining me in line wherever you are, whether you're in Target shopping, watching right now, stand up. If you're at Starbucks, stand up. You're in your home, stand up. Wherever it is right now, you're saying, I want to reach my fullest possible redemptive potential. I want to happen right now. So as you're standing right now, Holy Spirit, would you come in your power and would you come in your presence? We need you, God. This is a great weekend to say. On this Father's Day weekend, we're saying, God, I want you to be my Father. I want you to be my Father. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want to live my life your way because I believe your way is the best way. And God, on this Father's Day weekend, God, right now in this room and online, God, I dedicate myself to you. I'm all in. I'm all in. I commit my life to following you. You may even want to say those words. I commit my life to following you. I commit my life to following you. God, right here, right now, in this room. And I believe many of you are sensing the Spirit of God upon your hearts and lives right now. There's something very real happening in this room right now. It's very real. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in this place and in this space. And I bless what you're doing in this room. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.